Welcome to the Kim Wilkes Podcast. This is a podcast where I share about my experience healing from sexual abuse, as well as navigating other challenges and discussing my interests. I believe in healing through creativity, and that is something that I love to share. So bring me along wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and we can share in the fun. I'll be back after a word from our sponsor. This episode has been a long time coming. It was actually a listener request when I polled you all on Instagram probably over a year ago. If you've listened to the last couple of episodes, you know that a big part of the long break from the podcast had to do with my own anxiety and becoming a mother of two and everything that has come along with that. So I've had this question in the back of my mind for a long time, and I think everything I've been through recently is going to make my answers better than they would have been if I'd tried to do this episode a year ago. So that question that this episode is based around is about how to deal with anxiety when you're parenting young children. And I want to point out too that I specifically am speaking to dealing with anxiety when raising young children. I am a mother of two and my oldest is turning 4 years old. So I definitely am not an expert on parenting or what it is like with older kids. Also, I truly believe that every kid is different, every parent is different, and what works for one person may not work for another. But I do feel like a good number of the tips I'll include in this episode are worth a try and have great potential to help because they are based on human biology and physiology. I'm a research junkie, and whenever I feel like something is off, I go out of my way to learn everything I can to determine a root cause and find solutions that I can test out. So let's start by talking about my experience with both anxiety and with having kids. Obviously, if you've listened to season one, you know that I was sexually abused as a kid. And that trauma created a lot of anxiety for me all growing up and into adulthood. I feel like anxiety was my default state of being for most of my life. The older I've gotten, the more I've learned, and the better I've gotten at navigating and tending to that anxiety. I had my first child when I was 21. I'd been married for a little over a year, and it was honestly a really easy pregnancy, birth, and transition into parenthood. Yes, there were the many sleepless nights and tears and worrying that I was doing everything wrong, but overall, I felt pretty good. Anxiety with my firstborn came more as she got older and more independent, and I worried about keeping her safe. My secondborn was a very different story. I was racked with stress and anxiety from the onset of the pregnancy all the way through postpartum and have only had relief, really, from all of that in recent months. I'm pretty positive that all of that this time around was hormonally induced. So that's the short version of where I'm coming from. I'll also point out that I did have professional experience with kids as a swim instructor and as a respite and habilitation provider for kids with autism. Both jobs were very educational for me about how to engage children in activities and about physical and emotional regulation and things like vestibular and proprioceptive input, how to recognize early cues for changes in mood in order to help channel behaviors, etc., things like that. So with that background, let's jump into it. My number one piece of advice if you are feeling overwhelmed and anxious as a parent is this. Slow down. My guess is that you've got a lot of ideas in your head about what your home and routine should look like. You have boxes you want to tick off and feel like you have to usher your kids from one activity to the next. Your calendar may be overstuffed or maybe it's not, but even what's there feels heavy for you. Maybe it's less about your kids and more about your own to-do list. You feel like you have no time to squeeze in all the things you need to do. Even when you make a plan, something happens with your kids and everything gets derailed and it's impossible to get back on track. Personally, I've always been the type A overachiever and working for myself only makes me want to work that much harder because I know I'm capable of a lot. I tend to expect too much of myself. Over the last couple of years, I've had to learn how to let myself do less. My husband was always telling me that if I wanted to be less stressed, I'd have to take something off my plate because I was trying to juggle too much. But I didn't want to hear it. I felt like if I could just create the perfect routine, I'd be able to streamline all my tasks to work around my kids' schedule, and it would all work perfectly. I was totally deluded. Once pregnancy number two came along, I was forced by my body to take a break from work and to revisit my priorities. I was tempted to just take down my whole business and forget about work altogether. If you have an all-or-nothing personality, you probably relate. But I decided that instead I would just stop expecting myself to be so productive and let myself slow down. I rested when I needed to rest. I stopped expecting my child to get through all the different activities I used to set up for her. Instead, I'd just hang out with her, take it easy. When my husband wasn't working, I'd let him take over, and I would go take a nap or lay down for a while. I relaxed when it came to meals and nutrition and let my husband go out to grab something if I didn't feel up to cooking. I opted for slow and easy exercise like yoga and walking. I slept in instead of waking up 3 hours before everyone else. I said no to social engagements, which as an introvert were very draining for me, and I was already completely drained, so I stopped forcing myself to go and become even more depleted. I let time move without worrying about it and embraced slowly going through the days. I think most kids in the US nowadays are used to stuffed schedules and running from activities to extracurriculars, although COVID definitely changed things for a while. During the pandemic, I think a lot of people got very restless, feeling stuck at home. We took that time to make our house feel like a home and to make it somewhere we enjoyed being. The most we've done in terms of extracurriculars for my daughter was a once-a-week ballet class and meeting up at the park to play with friends. We also do a bit of preschool work here and there. I've noticed that if we have busy days or when we go places too loud or crowded or crazy, that she becomes overstimulated. And that's when we see the cranky, emotional, tantrum-throwing toddler. When she is well-rested, she is a very sweet kid. And when I'm well-rested, I am a better, more patient parent. So, we've reorganized our days to prioritize enough rest for everyone. Now, coming up on 1 year postpartum, my energy levels are getting better. I'm finding that I can take on more rigorous exercise, I can wake up earlier and get some things done, we can handle a little more in our schedules. So I do think if the idea of slowing down feels irksome to you, know that the extreme halt can be just for a season to help you learn a new rhythm. It really is a change of lifestyle at its core, and I find embracing the slowness has filtered into my work life now, and that I'm able to just work when I can work without feeling pressured or stressed. Tip number two, get outside. Human beings need sunshine and fresh air. Unplugging is how we recharge. Being outside and enjoying nature on a daily basis will absolutely shift your mood. I went through a period after my second daughter was born where I was reading a bunch of parenting books about the Scandinavian philosophies for raising children. The big focus of those books was getting children outside. Forest schooling is a normal thing over there. Even in traditional schools, they prioritize getting the children outside for a big chunk of the day. If you're a reader, one book I'd suggest is There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather. It is a little repetitive, but that's just because it's driving home the point that when you stop making excuses and look for ways to make it work, it is possible to get outside every day. I will state a caveat here though, because it was coming from the point of view of cold weather and how you can dress for it. But I live in the desert where summer temperatures reach upwards of 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So sometimes it truly was just too dang hot to go out for an outing. Even at like 6 in the morning, but even then I'd find ways to spend at least a few minutes at a time with my girls outside. We'd go stand in the sunshine outside our house for a few minutes just to soak in the vitamin D, or I'd set up a water activity on the front porch where we could stay mostly in the shade. I found that just going out the front door and looking into the open sky could completely alter our moods for the better. I am so excited for us to be reaching the end of summer because fall and winter here are our prime months to be outside, and I plan to lean into it. Picnic-style meals and hours at the park and hikes and hot chocolate and treats on the porch and family walks to see all the different holiday decor around our neighborhood. I am so excited. When I got pregnant with our second, my oldest was 2, And I immediately started looking at double strollers because walking outside has always been a sanity saver with my little ones. But as we neared the birth and my oldest had gotten a bit older, I decided we'd stick to our single stroller and give her a scooter. Best decision ever. She's grown into it so much and is so speedy. She gets out way more energy while I chauffeur the baby around, and it's a great source of independence for her. We worked a lot on safety etiquette and waiting for mom before crossing the street, and now I don't even have to worry about her when she's 10 yards ahead of me, because I know she'll stop at the end of the sidewalk and wait for me. She's also our biggest cheerleader for picnics. She always wants to be outside and would picnic every meal if I would just get on board with it. Another bonus of getting outside, it's the perfect place for your kids to be loud and get messy. I'm the personality who prefers my home to be zen. My husband works from home, so we try to keep the noise level respectful. But kids need an outlet to let loose and go crazy and get big wiggles out of their system. So the more they can do that outside, the less they'll need to do so inside. And if they can make messes outside, that's less cleanup inside at the end of the night, right? I find most kids are rearing to go and would love to run around outside. If you're finding resistance to it with your kids, though, I'd say it's worth the initial struggle to get the ball rolling. Just start making short outings a part of the routine, maybe making them longer as your kids get used to it until it becomes a habit. Like I said before, even a short bit of sun exposure can make a big difference. Next tip, teaching emotional regulation. So more rest and more vitamin N, that means vitamin nature if you've never heard of that book, are both really great tools to help with physiological and emotional regulation. But young kids are in a rapid state of development and have a lot of emotions and can be easily frustrated. It can be anything from struggling to communicate clearly to fixating on random things that they feel are of life or death importance. For example, the way you prepare their banana. Am I right? But this also extends to bigger changes like potty training or welcoming a new sibling or moving. Or maybe they've been playing by themselves for a while you tend to a sibling or work on something else and they feel ignored. Or they really want to do crafts, but you just cleaned and have some reason to say no to that. The friction of not getting what they want when they want it is uncomfortable. And these tiny humans are just starting to comprehend that discomfort and are trying to figure out what to do with it. As a parent, especially if you aren't regulated yourself, it can be really hard to deal with the rapid and extreme changes in your child's emotions. I think every parent ever has lost their cool and just yelled at their kid to go to their room or take a time out. I know this happens to me multiple times a week. Let's be real, often multiple times a day, but I try to take the time out as my own opportunity to cool off, take a few breaths, think through things rationally, and then go and be with my kid to help her do the same. Toddlers are not capable of regulating their own emotions without assistance. Their brains are literally not yet developed enough, but they are capable of learning skills and habits, and they will mirror you with enough repetition. So when I blow up at my kid a lot, I definitely see the same thing mirrored back at me. But when I stop and get on her level and we take deep breaths together and talk things out, I eventually get more cooperation. But, and I will add a but here, if she is overtired or overstimulated, there's a good chance I won't be able to reason with her at all. And the best plan of action is to help her get to sleep so that her body can have a chance to regulate itself. Sometimes that means tucking a crying toddler into bed and turning off the light and closing the door and watching on the monitor to make sure she quiets down and falls asleep. I have found with this though, that even when she's in a total freak out moment, she has learned our tools to calm down. She asks me to take deep breaths with her, to have her special blanket and a toy to hold on to. We've got our own system of what helps her and we can put it to work. As a parent, the trick becomes recognizing where your kid is at and being able to give them what they need. The basic questions, are they tired? Are they hungry? Are they lonely? Are they bored? Are they overwhelmed? Which one is the highest priority of the moment and how do you serve them to combat that imbalance? It's definitely not always easy, but I really believe the more present you are with your kids, the more often you'll be able to get ahead of emotions before they become blow-ups. Also, don't be discouraged if you feel like you know nothing about how to regulate your body and emotions. Just start learning the little things, like breathing exercises, and build your toolbox, teaching your children as you learn so you can all grow together. One other resource for this that I'll include, because we have really enjoyed it lately when I need a moment and my toddler needs something to distract her, but that I want it to be productive and a good regulator for her, is Cosmic Kids Yoga on YouTube. She really likes going through those practices and it helps her get into a better emotional state. So we've really liked them. Like I said, this teaching of personal regulation starts with you. If you are totally overwhelmed and out of whack, you are ill-equipped to help anyone else. So tending to yourself is of major importance. This will look a little different for everyone, but I think it should include looking at what you eat, how much you're exercising, what kind of sleep you're getting, your screen time, your outdoor time, your stressors, and really all the same things that you're probably trying to manage for your kids. You have to manage those for yourself too. This is where I found slowing way down to be really helpful. I was overstretched, so I had to let some balls drop to make room for more rest. It's paid off. Sometimes I'll straight up tell my daughter that I am very tired, and if I don't get some rest, I'll get very grumpy. So I need us all to take a nap. I put the baby down in her bed. I work with my toddler to either get her into her bed or to have her in her own room for a quiet time where she can play independently. And I go lay down. I will say I'm way too high strung to sleep if my kids are unsupervised and awake. So that is usually me just taking a few minutes to zone out or get a snack and lie down or watch a funny video or something. But if my husband is around to keep an eye on the monitor, I will full on take a nap until he comes to get me, and it's great. It took me months to chill out enough to actually be able to take naps during the day, but it has been a skill worth developing. Taking care of all of your needs and all the needs of everyone else in your household can sound like a lot. That's because it is a lot. I was complaining to my husband just this weekend because I woke up with a killer headache that wouldn't go away all day, so I was in a bad mood. And that spiraled into everyone having major meltdowns. It was like if I tried to tap out for the day, everything would just spiral into chaos. My husband said it's because I'm the lifeblood of our home, and we need to make sure I'm doing okay. So how the heck do I make sure that I'm doing okay? I find that most often this comes down to planning and systems, things that I love to utilize for business. And I've determined that running a home is running a business. If you feel like you're treading water, I encourage you to look at what in your home is stressing you out the most and see if there's a way you can systemize it to take the pressure off yourself. For example, I enjoy cooking and nutrition, and I spend a lot of time in the kitchen, but I don't always want to be in the kitchen. Sometimes I'd rather put that cooking time into writing or just chilling, but we still need to eat. And I know that fast food will make us feel like crap, so while I cave sometimes and we do get fast food and deal with feeling like crap, I've found the better option is meal prep. I used to be a meal prep master. When my oldest daughter was a baby and I was setting up my businesses, I'd spend one day a week prepping and freezing all of our breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Dedicating that one day to cooking and cleaning all the dishes opened my entire week for other tasks. I am not currently that organized. I have been reclaiming my love for food and cooking after a very nauseous pregnancy, but I'm starting to get back into it and find that if I can even just get one or two extra dinners prepped throughout the month, it gives me a couple of nights off. Even something like a simple appliance can be a big help. We got an egg cooker that cooks eggs a few different ways with just the press of a button, and it lets me be hands-off, avoid dirtying a pan, and I don't have to worry about it burning if I walk away because it turns off automatically. And that appliance removes a lot of the friction that could stop us from getting some protein in the morning. So that's just one example. And YouTube and Pinterest have so many great resources to teach you how to meal prep. There are tons of people on the internet talking about it. And really, the internet is full of resources to help you learn new ways to systemize pretty much anything. Maybe it's a cleaning schedule or how to set and stick to a daily routine. I'm sure you can find help somewhere on some blog and be able to utilize that in your own home to help you out. Or maybe it's a simple habit that helps you when you are overwhelmed. A tool I've found that has been so surprising and so helpful for me is actually a drink recipe. It's from someone named Noelle Covery, who I follow on Instagram. She educates about bioenergetic nutrition and slow living. She shares what she calls her cloud drinks. It's raw milk, raw egg yolk, sugar, collagen, and whatever flavors you want, like vanilla or chocolate or cinnamon. Of course, be sure that everything you are using is good quality, and you have to educate and make your own determination about consuming raw milk and raw egg. But I have delved into it, and I feel really good about where I'm sourcing my milk and eggs from. So I like to drink these warm, and it's designed to support the body and hormones to deal with stress. Case in point, when I had that killer headache the other day that would not go away, my husband suggested that I make my drink. So I did, and by the time I was taking my last sip, the headache had disappeared. I sat there and just laughed at myself because if I'd been thinking, I could have done that so much earlier in the day and we may have avoided everyone's meltdowns. So where does planning come into this? I'd planned ahead when shopping and had picked up some raw milk. So I had it when I needed it. It's a small habit that helps me to feel my best and be more ready to show up. I will also say, while planning is a great skill, knowing when to just let go is also something worth cultivating. Don't get so caught up in your plans that they become just another source of stress for you. The point of a system is that it should serve you, not the other way around. If there's a day where it's just not working, then let it not work and relax. You can figure something out and everything will be fine. Then later you can go back and fine-tune your system. Next up, let's talk about consumption. What goes in will come out. Our children's brains are sponges, so just like food they eat is going to have an effect on their behavior, the shows they watch, the books they read, all the different entertainment they are exposed to will make an impact. So start asking yourself questions. First, do you know what all they are being exposed to? What are they learning? Not in the sense that everything is supposed to be educational, but bearing in mind that every movie or show or book contains messages, and if you're not paying attention, you might be missing red flags. So what is your child's mood and behavior like after they have screen time? This is something that really caught my attention when we started letting my daughter watch shows. I grew up on Disney, so naturally that's where I started with her entertainment options, but looking at everything through new eyes, I started to pick up on all sorts of themes and lessons that I did not want in my childhood. I won't turn this into a Disney bashing rant because there are some movies I could cherry pick from them that I don't mind, but needless to say, we do not have Disney Plus on our TV anymore. Admittedly, I kept it around for the Marvel content for a while, but that seems to be going downhill as well, so I've deleted it altogether. I make a point of searching out wholesome options that will spark my daughter's imagination and creativity, that won't traumatize, scare, or confuse her, that teach her good morals and values, and that are happy and beautiful to look at. I preview things or make sure I've done some research on them beforehand and watch together at least the first time so I can make sure I'm comfortable with the content she's being presented with. There has been trial and error. And currently we have a few options for when she wants to watch TV that I am perfectly comfortable with and that she really enjoys. I know that may seem like overkill, but it's something that started to press more and more on my heart until I couldn't ignore it anymore. Mostly because I saw the way it affected her and her mood when she'd watch certain shows or movies. I never want her to be ruled by what she sees on a screen. We've done a few experiments when it comes to screen time. There is a part of me that would love to be rid of it as a whole, but the fact is that this generation is going to grow up surrounded by technology, and I'd rather have my children learn how to navigate it in the safety of our home with our guidance to help them avoid needless distress. Nevertheless, the outcome of most of our experiments is that less screen time equals a happier, more mellow kid. Screens are absolutely addictive. And we've already discussed how tiny brains are not developed enough to regulate that kind of input. Unfortunately, I am often weak and get tired and get so sick of the asking and asking and asking for TV time that I cave and let her watch TV for too long and too often. But when I really make an effort and am able to put the TV away for days at a time, I find our days become so much smoother and she uses her imagination so much more. And go ahead and think for me. How many of your kids' meltdowns are related to a screen or come after they've had time on a screen? Everyone is going to be different, but I find cold turkey is the best when you're wanting to reduce screen time. If she asks for it and I've decided we need a break, I just say, we're not doing TV today, and direct her towards other activities I've planned. Because having something for her to do is always going to help redirect that energy and make that a smoother transition. But you could always let them take the lead too, and just be ready to say yes to their ideas for ways to spend the time. It can turn into really beautiful experiences shared with each other. And it's all a part of slowing down and being mindful and present with your kids. No, you may not get to zone out or frantically try to get some task or other done while your kid watches something for 30 minutes, but really, I think that spending time connecting with your child will ease your anxiety so much more. Again, though, this is advice to myself as much as it is to you. I was obsessed with TV and movies growing up, and it's all too easy for me to get comfy on the couch and let the hours slip by. Choosing to do differently requires discipline. But when I have been disciplined and intentional about cutting out screen time for all of us, it has always paid off. That said, it is nice to have a couple of options in your back pocket, because there will come moments when you are losing your mind and need your kid to sit still and be quiet for just a few minutes. Trust me, I get it. Two of our favorites are available on Prime Video. The first is If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, based on the book series. It is so fun and has actually introduced some great words into my daughter's vocabulary. It's all about friendship and being kind and solving problems with creativity. The other show is Guess How Much I Love You, also based on a book. It is all about nature and is very soft and relaxing and quiet. Exactly the kind of vibe I want in my house if we are using TV as a quiet time activity. We also recently came across a science show on BYU TV called DIY Sci that she's liked watching. It's basically just a guy doing science experiments with kids. So it's a nice option if you do want something on the more educational side. Curious George on Peacock is also a fun one, but I prefer to avoid exposing my kids to commercials as much as I can, and we don't want to pay the extra money to Peacock to not have commercials. So that one I only do on rare occasion. But those are a few of our favorites. On another note, I wanted to talk about diffusing meltdowns after the fact. One of the most important habits me and my husband have tried to cultivate is apologizing to our kids after wrongfully blowing up. We get frustrated sometimes, so we like to show them that A, we still love them, B, sometimes people lose control of their emotions, but it's important to still take responsibility for them. While it would be great to set an example of perfect patience and control, I think it can serve them more to set an example of having real emotions and taking responsibility for your actions when you do something in anger or sadness that affects someone else. It helps them to feel seen and valued, and also to understand what we expect of them when their emotions get out of control. We want a home where everyone is respected and where we can work together, and also where we can be able to show a healthy range of emotions and not feel like we have to hide anything from one another. The last thing for this episode so we can wrap it up. If your anxiety comes from personal trauma, understands that there will be triggers and you will worry, sometimes to the point of panic and tears, about protecting your children from the evil in this world. This list of tips may feel more like to-dos to add to a never-ending list, and you may be so overwhelmed. Please know that all you really need to do for your children is show up. If junk food and TV helps you get through a rough season, then grab that pack of Oreos and snuggle up with your kids for a movie day. Start taking small steps towards building habits that will help you regulate your own anxiety. And go from there. Those small steps will turn into longevity. And with your kids' whole lives ahead of them, I think that's what our focus is on. I really hope something in this episode was helpful to you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am still collecting stories for the series I'm doing in October of true supernatural and scary stories. So if you have any to share, please send them to my email, kim@kimwilkes.com. or you can send me a voice message to be included in an episode of the podcast. I'll put a link for that down in the show notes. I'd love to hear your stories and share them so we can all enjoy. Thank you so much for listening to the Kim Wilkes podcast. I would love it if you followed the podcast wherever you listen and shared it with your friends. You can find me on Instagram at kimwilkes.co to stay up to date until our next episode.